I'd like for you to pray with me once more as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word of the Lord, that it is always what we need. And I pray, Father, that as we hear your word today, that faith would rise in our hearts. And Father, that we might believe you and trust you for great and mighty things in this day and this hour. And Father, I pray that you just have your way in us. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are in a very simple series right now just called Faith. Faith is one of the major themes of the Bible. I always think it's important to major on the majors. You know, that's kind of the thing of the day sometimes. You know, people are looking for teachers that will scratch their itching ears, and we're looking for the new thing that we've never heard before. But the truth is what we really need is the simple truths of the Word of God. The things that God thinks are important, they're what's really important. And if you start looking for faith, you will find faith from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. It is how God deals and interacts with man. And so we need to understand a little bit about faith, and that's what this series is really about. But if you're going to have a relationship with God, if you're going to experience a greater measure of the blessings of God in your life, if you're going to see miracles happen in your life, in your world today, I'm telling you that it's going to happen by and through faith. It's one of the things that all of the great men and women of God have in common: faith. Many of the heroes of the Word of God are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, I call them the heroes of faith. And it tells about the great miracles that God did in and through their lives in their generation. And every one of them, it tells us it was by faith. And I want to let you know that whatever God does miraculously in our day and time, it will be by faith. Whatever he does in your life, it'll be by faith. In verse 6 of that same chapter of Hebrews 11, he tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Doubt and fear and unbelief don't please the Lord. No, it pleases him when we have faith, when we believe him and we trust him. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 tells us, it describes to us what faith is. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things that you hope for, it's the substance of it. It is the evidence of things not seen. I want you to remember that it is substance, it's evidence, it's something very real. It is not just positive thinking, it's not just wishing. No, it is something much more real than that. It has substance, it is evidence, because it is based on the Word of God. Our faith is in him, and it is founded on the Word of God. Real faith is believing what God has said. Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, when we hear the Word of God, when we receive of the Word of God, however you get it, when you receive the Word of God, then faith comes in your heart. You have the opportunity to choose to believe God's Word. And when you know what God has said about a situation in your life, when you have a promise or a word from God about a particular problem that you're dealing with, then you can believe God for an answer. I want to say this one more time. Real faith is not just based on a positive thought or some idea, wishful thinking, but it's based on the Word of the Lord. What he has written in his Word, or what he has spoken to you, but it's based on the Word of God. Mark chapter 11, we're going to read 22 through 24. It says, Jesus says, by the way, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I'm telling you, faith in God is very powerful. Prayer is very powerful. It's the most powerful thing that you will ever do on this earth, because praying in faith is how we bring the power of the Almighty into our world and into our life. See, Jesus says, have faith in God. It's not just, do you believe he exists? No, the book of James tells us that even the demons believe and yet tremble. Have faith in God. Jesus is telling us to depend upon God. He's telling us to put our trust in him. Listen, if we have faith in God, what are we going to do with it? Well, the obvious answer is that we're going to pray. If you really believe that God is interested in your life, if you really believe that God has all power, then why wouldn't we pray? Whatever our goals, whatever challenges we're facing, whatever problems we might be going through, if we have faith, we're going to look to God in prayer. Verse 24, he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive, and you will have them. Let me say it again. If you believe, you're going to pray. If you really believe, you're going to pray. Here's the number one reason why people don't pray more. They don't believe. If we believe, we're going to pray. Faith prays. You know that we should pray, but why is it so often we end up not praying? I was thinking about this. You know, if you had a friend who was a mechanic, you know, one of those people that they were just really, really good at what they do. And this mechanic could do absolutely anything. He could fix anything on your car. And he says to you, hey, you're my friend. And if you have any trouble with your car, you just call me and I'll take care of it. Now, when you have car trouble, why would you not call your friend? Well, the only reasonable answer is either you think you can do it yourself or you don't believe what they said. But if you believe what they said, then you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call them. And I'm telling you, if we believe what God has said, then we will call him up in prayer. You see, if we really have faith, then we're going to talk to God when we need him. We're going to look to him in prayer. Reason that people don't pray more, it's because they don't believe enough. And one of the reasons, and I alluded to this in the illustration there, that one of the reasons that people don't pray is that they end up depending on themselves. You say, well, this is just a little thing on my car. I don't need to call my friend. I'll just do this myself. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of things I was going to fix myself, and I ended up getting in a mess. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what? We do that even more, much, much more often than we realize when it comes to the Lord. Because rather than pray, we depend on ourselves and we think, well, I can handle this. In fact, a lot of the time, we don't even give a thought to prayer. We just assume that I can do this on my own. I can handle this. And it's when the wheels come off that then we say, well, I guess I'm going to have to pray. I had a situation I was dealing with this week, and, you know, I thought, man, I got this. I'm smart enough to handle this. I've got this all figured out. And in a little while, I was writing a note on my desk. I said, Lord, please help me. But you see, it shouldn't be that prayer is the afterthought. Instead, it ought to be that prayer is our first thought. That we are always and forever looking to God, having faith in God, trusting Him, that in whatever we do, we need His blessing, we need His help. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I know if we would just get that one simple thing, how much it would help our prayer life, that we always need His help, no matter how much we may think, well, I got this. How desperately we need His help. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. You know, it's amazing how people are always trying to get around the Word of God, and I've heard people do some theological acrobatics with this simple verse. I don't know how anything could be any more simple or plain or clear than pray without ceasing, and yet they managed to figure out a way that it didn't really mean that you had to pray without ceasing. You could just pray, you know, once in a while, once a day or so, and that was good enough. But when the Bible says pray without ceasing, I'm not going to tell you that you can't ever talk to your wife, although you might wish it said that, because you have to be praying all the time. No, that's not what it says. But what it is saying is that all throughout our day, that we're to be always communing with the Lord, always talking to God throughout our day. See, whatever we're doing, that we are praying because we know that there's a God who loves us, who cares for us. He doesn't just want to take us to heaven, but He wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives. He wants that kind of relationship with us, like the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 about Enoch, that by faith, Enoch walked with God. We want that kind of relationship with the Lord. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I pray and I ask God for guidance and wisdom, direction, blessing on my day. I pray for my loved ones. I pray for those brothers and sisters who are going through a battle. I pray over my breakfast. I pray for safe travel. Or do we just got that? I pray for wisdom and success in my workplace. I pray for my coworkers who maybe don't even know the Lord. I pray for the company that I work for, the business that I work for. I pray for my employer, my boss. I pray for safe travel home again. And I pray for issues that my children might have been dealing with at school today. And I pray for my wife and whatever battles and struggles she has. And I pray over my meal again. Or do I just take it for granted? And then I pray that God will bless me with a sleep that is sweet, that I'll have peace. You see, we ought to be praying without ceasing all the time, not out of a religious ritual, but because we are depending on God, because our faith is in Him, and we believe that He is the one that makes the difference in our life. It's through prayer that we invoke, that we bring the blessing of God upon our life. A lot of times we like to think that we don't pray more because we simply don't have time. And as I've just kind of illustrated, all of us can pray throughout our day. But we also all have time for quality time with the Lord. All of us have time for a season of prayer in our day, every day. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus in 3 years accomplished more than anybody else in all of history, and He thought that it was necessary to pray? Most of us, we say, well, I've got so much to do, I've just got to get after it. I don't have time for that. And you see, when our attitude is that way, it shows that we don't understand at all what is happening when we pray. Before Jesus chose the 12, he spent the whole entire night in prayer. There were times when the demands of ministry were so great and the people were just constantly drawing from him and demanding ministry. And as strange as it might seem to us, Jesus pulled away from the crowds. And the Bible tells us that he went out to a solitary place to pray. Why? Because even the Son of God understood that prayer is how we bring God's power in this world. And I'm telling you, none of us is too busy for prayer. How about the Apostle Paul? Here's a man who was absolutely driven by his calling. I mean, it seems like the guy was just always on the go, always pursuing after the call of God and what God wanted him to do. He was just absolutely relentless. And yet, he prayed all the time. It was his very work that caused him to pray all the time. He talked about the care of the churches, and he prayed for those churches every day. He prayed for those churches. And I'm just telling you, if you have things that you're concerned about in your life, responsibilities and things you have to get done, avail yourself of the opportunity to take those things to God and to turn them over to him in prayer. Oh, not only so that God will help you, but so that you will have peace. You know, there is a humility in prayer. Because the humility of prayer is that, God, I need your help. It is a very proud thing to not pray and to think that you don't need God's help. And remember, God gives grace, undeserved favor to the humble, but he resists the proud. And so when we think we don't need to pray, we're not getting any help at all. But when we humble ourselves and we say, Lord, I need your help today. And I want to tell you, just a little help from God makes all the difference in your life. Things just have a way of coming together and working out. A lot of the time, it doesn't look like it's going to. In fact, sometimes when you pray, it just seems like things get worse. But you just keep praying and believing. And before it's all said and done, somehow or another, God works it all together for our good and brings victory. And he does it over and over and over. Seldom the way that we tell him to. But God does answer prayer. Who knows how much trouble you could avoid, how much heartache you would be spared, how many mistakes you wouldn't make if you would have prayed. I want to say again, the real reason that people don't pray is because they don't believe. Let me phrase it a different way. They don't believe that it will make a difference. If we really believe that if I pray about my day, if I pray about this situation, then that's going to make the difference. If we really believe that, none of us would ever fail to pray. We talk to other people. We look for other answers. We try to work it out on our own somehow. And maybe we throw up a quick prayer here and there. But I tell you, we need to learn to trust in him, to have faith and to pray and believe that he will take care of it. You know, one of the reasons that people stop praying is because they pray for a while and they don't see the results that they wanted to see. And so they say, well, this isn't working, and so they stop. They give up. Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, he tells a parable, but the parable is to this end. This is what it says in Luke 18:1, that men should always pray and never give up. We should always pray and never give up. You got to be persistent. You got to keep praying. When people stop praying, when people give up, let me tell you what happened. They decided it wasn't working. It wasn't doing any good. You see, as long as we believe, as long as we have faith, we'll keep praying. And Jesus knows that if we keep praying, our victory will come. You just can't give up. But too often people give up and their prayers are unanswered, not because God is not faithful, but because they gave up. Now, I want to address a false doctrine this morning, and it's one that I hit head on. It's most false doctrines that I hear in the church and in America today, I just teach the truth. But this one is one that has done so much damage to people's faith, it needs to be hit head on. And I've done it before, but it needs to be done on a regular basis because it has so permeated the religious culture of America that when you start talking about faith, a lot of people can't even begin to grasp what real faith is because their minds have been so indoctrinated with this false doctrine. It is the teaching that, now listen to the whole thing I'm saying here, all right? That God is sovereign and therefore he's going to do what he's going to do no matter what we do. Whether we pray or not, that God's just going to do what he's going to do. And let me tell you something. Every major denomination has some degree of this false doctrine in it. And what's really scary is that the vast majority of Americans who don't even go to church believe the same thing. Now, I don't know about you, but it concerns me a little bit when the church believes the same thing about God that the unchurched believe about God. That a religious culture who don't even really have a relationship with God, this is what they believe about God, and most of the church believes the same thing, that we don't really need to pray because, well, you know, other than religious duty. But we don't need to pray and ask God and believe God because he's sovereign and he's just going to do what he wants to do anyway. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. We don't know what God will do, so why pray? Because it doesn't make any difference. He's sovereign. He's going to do whatever he wants. I want to explain some things to you about that. Listen, he is sovereign, and he does do whatever he wants. And he, the sovereign God of the universe, has chosen to work this way, that he responds to the prayers of his people. God is the supreme ruler. That's what sovereign means. And the sovereign God, the supreme ruler of the universe, has chosen to work through the prayers of his people. Let me explain something to you. One of the reasons that God has chosen to work this way he could just do his will whether or not we prayed. But you know what happens when God always just does his will and we didn't even pray, we didn't even ask? I mean, when God just works things out in your life, and sometimes in the mercy of God, he does that, even though we didn't pray, even though we didn't believe. I'm telling you, we all are still living under a certain measure of the mercies of God every day. But most of us, when those things just work out, we didn't pray, we didn't ask God, we didn't believe God, and we don't give God the credit. We assume that it was just luck or fate, or that this other person or this other entity helped us. And worst of all, that we ourselves managed to handle it all. You see, it's so important that we understand God has chosen to work through faith and prayer, because when we pray and we're believing Him, we're depending upon Him, then when God moves and God answers that prayer, we know that it was God, and we give God the glory. And so, He waits for somebody to pray and somebody to believe. The sovereign God has chosen to work this way. By the way, sovereign means supreme ruler. It does not mean He ignores the prayers of His people. Where is that in the Bible? No, what I see over and over in the scripture is that God hears the prayer of the righteous, that God is moved when we pray, that He's chosen to respond when people pray. If He's the supreme ruler of the universe and He has all power and all authority to do anything, He has the resources to answer our prayer, it seems to me that He's the one that we need to be talking to. See, you get on the phone, you can get on Facebook, you can talk to all your friends. Listen, let me tell you something. If you've got problems, He's the one you need to be talking to, because He actually has the power to do something about it. He has the power, if we just have the faith, to believe Him in prayer. So what does the scripture say about us praying? It's not just a religious ritual that we do, but it is in order to believe God, to see God move. Jesus said that the Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask. One of those is in Matthew chapter 6. He knows what you need before you even ask. And some people say, so we don't need to ask. That's not what He said. He said, before you ask. It's implied that you're going to ask. Now, the principle He was teaching was is that it's not by vain repetition that you get the answer to your prayer. We're not trying to twist God's arm. You're going to make God do something. See, people go from one extreme to the other. You can't make God do something by praying. Remember, He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and the Bible says that He does whatever He pleases. So you're not going to twist God's arm into doing anything. But we ask, because this is the way He has chosen to work. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Notice He didn't say, hey, y'all don't bother asking, I'm going to give it to you anyway. That's not in the Bible. He says, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Well, now, wait a minute. I asked, and I didn't receive nothing. I'm just the messenger boy this morning. But I can tell you this, that God's word is always true. We may not always understand it. We may not always get it. I'm telling you, I've been serving the Lord for over 35 years, and I'm still learning every day. But everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. I will tell you this about these three verbs when He says ask and seek and knock. It is not a one-time event. It is not that you came to the door and you knocked one time. It's not that you came to the door or you came to God and you asked one time. It's a linear verb that you are asking, that you are asking. You just keep asking. You're believing. You're knocking. You're seeking. And Jesus says, everybody that asks receives. Everybody that seeks finds. Everybody that knocks, the door will be open to him. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Here's another false doctrine that's alive and well in religious America today, is that you don't need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Well, you better talk to Jesus about it, because he says the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. But he answers the prayer of his people. He has chosen to work through prayer and faith. And when we pray, we're not trying to get God to do something that he doesn't want to do. Listen to me very carefully. Don't ever try to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. His will is always best. You might think you know best, but believe me, he knows the beginning and the end. He sees what you don't see. He knows what's going to happen down the road. He sees what's in people's hearts. So don't ever ask God to do something that he doesn't want to do. That would be stupid. And the worst thing in the world would be is if you got what you wanted when it wasn't his will. Always think about the children of Israel demanding to have meat, complaining until God finally gave it to them, and he said, you're going to eat it till it comes out your nose. And some people, they beg and complain and beg and complain until God lets them have their way, and then they say, why did you let me have this? I know I asked you for this husband, but I don't want him now. Don't ever pray and try to get God to do something that he doesn't want to do. But let's turn that around. What if God wants to do it, and he's just waiting for you to pray in faith? How easy is that? I'm telling you, this is how this is supposed to work. Listen, when people get far away from God, when a nation is turned away from God, you know what God wants? Well, he just wants to rain down fire and hell on them. No, he doesn't. Have you read the Bible? Where do people get this garbage? Has God ever done that? Yes, but that's never his plan. That's never what he wants to do. Jonah didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh because he knew that if they repented, that God would show mercy on them. That's what God wants to do. And so when we pray for revival in the land, I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Don't tell me that God doesn't respond to prayer. He says, if they'll pray, if they'll seek my face, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. God responds to sincere and earnest prayer prayed in faith. The one prayer that has the least chance of ever being answered is the prayer that's never prayed. The Bible says in James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. And then he goes on, by the way, and I think this is very pertinent in America today, but he says, then you ask and still don't have because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lust, asking for the wrong motives. But the principle is still true that many times we don't have the answer to our prayer simply because we didn't ask. So many would just say, well, you know, if it's God's will, it will happen. Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I realize that a whole lot of people, that religious America has turned the Lord's Prayer into nothing more than some kind of religious ritual that you just go through these words and they don't really mean anything. Jesus never taught vain religion. Jesus taught something very powerful. He knew how to pray, and so when the disciples say to him, Lord, teach us to pray, he's teaching them something very powerful when he says to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, what is the will of God? We're just praying for God's will here on earth. We're not twisting his arm and trying to get him to do our will. We're praying for his will to be done in our lives and in our world. Is it God's will for people to go to hell, or is it God's will for people to be saved? I see some people are really confused about this. The Bible says, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing, not willing, not willing. Everybody say he's not willing. Thank you. That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What is God's desire? That all men see, when people try to tell you that, oh, only certain ones can be saved, what a doctrine of devils to condemn people to hell. He desires that all men be saved. What's his will? What does he want? He wants none to perish, that all men be saved. But here's where the key is. It's for those who believe. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith. You see, it's people have to believe the promise of God. They have to believe the will of God in their life in order to be saved. And I use this as salvation, as just a simple illustration. But you see, whatever promises we have from God, whatever else we see and we know is the will of God, we need to pray in faith, because we're just asking God to do what he already wants to do, but he's waiting for somebody to pray in faith. If I have faith that he'll forgive my sins, then I will pray, Father, forgive my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Faith is a way for us to receive what God wants to give. It is not a way to change God's will, but rather to bring his will to pass. But I want you to get this too. Faith is not just believing that God can. You see, it's believing that he will. Now, these are very important verses. Every Christian needs to know these verses. 1 John 5:14-15. Come on, everybody stay with me. No fluff and stuff this morning. This is real. This is how you live this life, that you pray in faith and you see God move and work in your family. You see the hand of God, the blessing of God on your life. You see God working in your workplace and seeing people saved. How's that happen? Because you learn to pray in faith. This is very important. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, when we know that it's God's will, then we can ask him in faith with great confidence, and we know, we believe, we receive. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 11:24? Whatever things you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. So when we pray according to the will of God, then we know that we're going to receive, that we have received what we've asked for. Real faith is when we just believe God's word, when we stand on his word, we pray according to his will. But you got to move past, I know he can, and you got to start believing that he will, that you have the evidence of it. I believe I receive. That's what Mark 11:24 says. I believe I receive. When you believe you receive, Jesus says, you shall have it. Now, if we really believe, I want you to get this morning. If you really believe, you're going to pray. I want you to see it again in the scripture. It's John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Some of those crazy promises, some of the most outlandish things that Jesus ever said. Here it is. He says, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here's a real key in here, that the Father might be glorified. You see, when we believe and we pray, he says he'll do it so that the Father will be glorified. We need to pray a whole lot more and quit just taking the credit for it ourselves. Quit thinking that things just worked out. No, instead, we need to pray about everything and start giving God the glory for everything. I'm talking about how you can have greater blessing in your life. See miracles happen in your life. How you can really walk with God every day. Faith, praise. The book of James gives us a great example of this in praying for wisdom. We're going to close with this example. But James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, he tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. He does not hold back. Now, how many of you believe that? Okay, most of you, that's good. James says he gives to all men liberally. He upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back. This is just one promise. Just one simple blessing in our life. We could repeat this 100 times over with other promises and other blessings. He says he gives liberally and he doesn't hold back. But let him ask in faith. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Here is how religious America prays. God, we wish that you would do something. Well, let's just take this example. Lord, I wish you'd give me some wisdom. Well, we don't know if he will or won't. I guess we'll see. I asked him for wisdom, but I don't know if he's going to give me any wisdom. Waver, waver, waver. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I don't know about you, but I don't want the word of God to say that I'm unstable. Double-minded man. I don't want to be that guy. No, when I've got God's word on it, when I have a promise from God, when God has spoken to me, then I'm not going to waver, no matter how it looks, no matter what's going on, even if it looks like it's gotten worse, even if it looks like it's over, I'm not going to change because His word is enough for me. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, not driven by the wind and the waves. Listen, the circumstances of life are always going to try to toss you back and forth and get your faith off of God. But you've got to stand and believe. Don't waver. Now, I want to clarify something to you. When he says not to waver, he says no doubting. Some people think that if they had a negative thought pop in their mind, then they doubt it and it's over. No, listen. You can't control what thoughts pop into your mind. You can control what thoughts stay in your mind and what you dwell on. But your faith is determined by how you live and what you say. Just the fact that you had a negative thought pop in your mind, you see, the devil will try to use that against you and say, oh, well, you doubted. Too bad, it's over. I want to tell you something. If you did doubt, let me tell you what to do about it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Because if you'll repent of it and get back on board and really start believing God, let me tell you something. It's just like the other mistakes you made in your life. God will forgive you and you can get on with it. But if you're just going back and forth and back and forth, let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. And I'm going to do this from the pulpit because I'm too chicken to do it with you personally. But when you tell me, well, I just don't know, don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't be hating on me. I love you. And I want to see you walking in greater victory. And I'm telling you, this is real. We read this stuff in the Bible. It's not fantasy. This is real. We need to stop living this religious thing that you see so common in our culture. No, when you read the Bible, it's something very powerful. This is for us, and we need to start walking and living by faith. Amen. That's for us. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray right now. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord, and I thank you for your people, Lord, that here in Grace Church, that you are raising up men and women and young people who are great warriors for God, who will believe for great and mighty things, people who know their God. They'll be strong and do exploits for God. Father, that you will be glorified in our life. Oh, Father, that we ourselves, Lord, will touch none of the glory, but give it all to you. Lord, for every blessing, every answered prayer, Lord, that we will direct people's attention to you. You are good. You are faithful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would have your way in us today. And I know, Father, that it is your will that none perish, but all come to repentance. And so, Father, I'm praying especially this morning for those that are here, Lord, and they need to make a change. I pray, Father, that that change would take place today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want our prayer partners to come and even as we dismiss this morning, I'm telling you, it is a great opportunity for you to use your faith and pray. I prayed just a moment ago that if there are those here who need to make a change in their life, that they would come. And I want you to understand this about faith. You see, it's God's will for all to come to repentance. I don't have faith enough to say over the whole world, may all come to repentance today. And I just want you to understand, you know, if we had that kind of faith, well, I'm just telling you, you see, you need to believe God what you could believe God for. Don't ask God to do things that you can't even believe for. You know, you're praying for God to give you $5 million, but you don't believe He will. Don't do that. You pray and ask God to do what you can believe Him for. But as we dismiss this morning, some of you have some things going on in your life right now that you need to believe God about. You just need to, by faith, turn those things over to God. Ask for God's help and decide that you're going to trust Him and that you're not going to waver. You're going to pray in faith. Believe you receive, and you shall have Him. That's what Jesus said. So as we dismiss this morning, whatever your prayer need might be, whether you're believing God for a restoration in your family, or you believe in God to heal your body, whether you're believing God for miraculous provision, or you're praying for the salvation of a lost loved one, whatever it is, if you need prayer this morning and you're ready to believe God, I want you to come and let a prayer partner pray the prayer of agreement with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you come.